This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into an hour two, numero dos of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is the noon hour, and that means it's lunchtime. The lunch hour of Adam Carriker on The Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue. Now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2. By Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt end sandwich, brisket, burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2. We just had our most recent on-location show. We'll be doing that again about once a month. Man, every time I go there, because they're nice and generous enough to just give us free food afterwards. Dude, the brisket, the ribs, the potato salad, the beans. Delicious. Like, seriously. You and I ate quickly. You bolted because you had to try to get here because you didn't want to lose your job. Somebody else, I think Austin was trying to take your show from you. That's with Terrell. Right. But, man, it is good stuff. Would you not agree?
Oh, man, absolutely fantastic. I tried their Cuban sandwich for the first time just to mix it up a little bit. That was delicious, too.
All right. So my official record after 2 weeks in the pick'em is 4-6. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what are you?
I'm also 4-6.
You are also 4-6.
Because I did get the one game right last week.
So I just had a bad week, and I got back on my norm. You're just consistently hanging out low, Jake. What's the deal there?
It's the same record. It's the same record. You can't talk about it. We're both 4-6.
No, it's all about perspective. It's all about what you've done lately. All right. Any other text from the text line before we get to the clips? And we're getting feedback from Matt Rule's press conference as well. Anything else from the text line?
One quick question here. Big Haas says they liked Latif, but what did you think about his throwing motion? He felt like he missed the one he missed was maybe rushed or forced a little bit. Was it first game jitters?
Well, first of all, he was 6 of 7. So he literally missed one throw. All right. So he was 6 of 7 on the night. Averaged 18 yards per pass attempt and also 9 yards, if you round up, 9 yards per carry every time he ran the ball. I thought he looked good. This is the kid I've been excited about since the Husker games. I know a lot of people after the Husker game scrimmage, obviously not a lot of people watched it. Some people were concerned. I was like, what are you watching? Like, do you not see the live arm? Do you not see his ability to run? And I'm just like, yeah, it's his first ever, you know, scrimmage in front of anybody. I think there was like 7 people there for the Husker game, 7,000 or 8,000, I think was the number. By the way, spring game's returning this year, right?
I would think so.
Dude, please. Please return. But you hear good things out of camp. Then you hear he's the number two quarterback. When they recruited Jalen Gromstad to come back to be the number two quarterback, so that speaks more to TJ. Because if Jalen Gromstad's your number three quarterback, you feel much better about your quarterback depth than you have in forever. No, my evaluation of TJ, albeit against Akron, also his first live reps ever inside Memorial Stadium in a live game. I thought he looked good. I thought he was impressive. I think the future is bright. I'm excited to see how he continues to develop over time. And yeah, he missed one pass, so we should bench him. No, I'm just kidding. What's the next question?
Oh, no, that's it for now.
No, you had, there was a question in there. Oh, I forget what you said. You said it during the break. It was like taking a jab at someone or something.
A Cincinnati question?
Well, how good is Cincinnati? We're going to learn more about them as the year goes along. I think they beat Bowling Green by 14. Again, I think this is a team that's definitely going to a bowl game. I don't know if that's 6-6 or 9-3, probably somewhere in between. But this is definitely an improved Cincinnati team. No, I thought there was another one. Because you read it quickly, and I was like, oh, that wasn't too nice. Let's talk about that. I forget what it was, though. No idea?
No idea.
Okay. Let's get to the next clip. There's one from Josh Pate. And what was the other one?
Throwback to David Bennett. Dogs.
Oh, let's do that one. So hold on. Let me get the accurate information here. This thing pops up about once a year. You've probably seen it before. But if things tend to come up, on a yearly basis is because they're just that good. So going back, this clip is from September 7th, 2011, Coastal Carolina head football coach David Bennett, and I quote, "Be a dog. We need more dogs." End quote. Don't be a kitty cat. Roll the clip.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament before practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, "What are you doing in here, little kitty cat?" By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. The cat starts going meow, all crazy. And I told our players, "We need more dogs." Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, "What's going on?" I said, "There's a cat in the house." "Cat in the house?" I said, "Yeah, there's a cat in the house." So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. Cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, "You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow," looking in the mirror. "Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs."
"We don't need no meows. We need more cats. No, don't be a cat. Be a dog. We need more dogs." Meow. I think his meow is much better than mine. That thing pops up about once a year, usually around September 7th, because that's usually the anniversary of the clip. And every time I see it, I watch it. And it's equally entertaining and great every single time. What are your thoughts on this clip?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's one of the best college football clips there are out there. I didn't notice until I really listened to it. There's not much of a story there. There's a cat in the kitchen. He tries to get out. Like, he didn't need that story. He just kind of went off like, "So, speaking of dogs and cats, meow."
Thank you. Like, the story really doesn't make sense. Like, I'm trying to get the cat out of the house, and it keeps meowing, and somehow that translates into, "We need more dogs on the football team." It's never made any sense to me, but I still love the clip. I think it almost adds to the clip. Like you said, he found an excuse to talk about cats and dogs. And "We don't need no meow. More, give me more dogs." All right. And he's right. Basically, the point he's saying, I don't want a bunch of guys who are focused on looking good in the mirror. There was always that same group of guys that would stand in the mirror before games, and they'd have their wristbands in the right spot, make sure the eye black looked good. And for some reason, a couple of them would even do their hair. I'm like, "You're going to put a helmet on. What are you doing?" I could have spent more time doing this. I also couldn't have cared less. There are times when I watch myself on film and I'm like, "Yeah, you could have done a little bit something more. Like, you are the most blasé dressed person out there, Adam," but I didn't care. But what he's saying is, like, don't worry about being a cat. Don't worry about looking in the mirror. We need more dogs, guys who just want to go play. And the story doesn't make any sense, but it's still a great clip. All right. So this next Josh Pate clip was before this past weekend, but I still like it. And you'll understand why. Go ahead and roll the clip.
It's always been stupid to me that people who do rankings adhere to their preseason predictions. Who cares about your predictions? I don't even care about mine. Once the season starts, if you're ranking teams, you ought to go off the body of work. Let me ask you this. Georgia Tech's unranked. Why? Auburn's unranked. Why? USC is unranked. Louisville. TCU's unranked. Missouri's unranked. South Florida beat Boise. Why are they unranked? Why is Nebraska unranked, but Alabama is? Alabama looked atrocious in week one.
So, of course, I talked right when he was talking about Nebraska. Can you back it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Basically, he talks about all these teams. And again, this was going into this past weekend, but we definitely didn't hurt our case. I don't think we should be ranked. But Josh Pate's like, why isn't this team ranked? Of course, USF helps their case by going out and beating Florida. But then he talks about the team we all care about the most. Go ahead, Jake.
Missouri's unranked. South Florida beat Boise. Why are they unranked? Why is Nebraska unranked, but Alabama is? Alabama looked atrocious in week one. Well, they're still ranked, Josh, because they were preseason top 10. If you're ranking teams, it doesn't matter. Hey, I got them power rated 12th, but that's only because there aren't many teams still that would be favored against them on a neutral field, which is what power ratings are. Rankings? Bama shouldn't be ranked right now.
Jake, should Nebraska be ranked and Alabama not? What are your thoughts here?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I get it. It's again, the preseason polls, people argue against them. Should they even be out there? They kind of throw, you know, these strength of schedules out based off them and all that sort of stuff. I just think it's all fun. I mean, it's all debate and it doesn't necessarily matter all that much. until we get to the college football rankings. Even those don't matter all that much until you get to the last few weeks. I hate to tell it to you. So, I mean, I get where you can go. And I do, to a degree, agree with him as far as, like, it's interesting how different teams are, you know, you react to those teams. I'm trying to think. Mississippi State, I don't know if they had a worse record than Florida State last year. They beat Arizona State. Arizona State's nowhere to be seen in the top 25. Of course, Florida State beat Alabama. Alabama slides a few spots. So I get it. I mean, I think there is something to that. But I also think that's a lot of it is kind of what I like about college football is what has your program earned at this point? What do I believe when I see, you know, a top 20? If I see a top 20 Penn State team, I believe in it because I see the uniform. If I see a top 20 Mississippi State team, I think I still got to kind of see some stuff from them. So, you know, I kind of like all of it.
So I have readily admitted. So for years I debated preseason rankings. Yay, nay. Do I like them? Do I not? About 2 years ago, I was like, these things are a joke. Because for about 3 years in a row heading up to that, you could look at the preseason rankings and then the final rankings, maybe half the teams were still ranked. Maybe. And then you'd look at the preseason top 10, maybe half of them were even ranked. And I'm like, these things have no credence at all. Okay. But I will also readily admit I like the preseason rankings because it makes it more fun. It makes it more fun. Go ahead.
What do you got? It sets expectations. That's what I love most about it. You know, it lets you know. So you can see by the end of the season, this team was supposed to be 12th. They're not ranked. That's doomsday. This team wasn't ranked and now is ranked. That's a big deal. You can even look from somebody that's, you know, I don't know, 25th. They end up sixth. That's a huge deal. So I like it because it kind of lets you know what the fan base is thinking coming into the year.
That's a fair point. How do you end up versus what were the preseason expectations? A lot of that's going to come back to the coach, and that's how fans are going to evaluate a coach as well. Like if you go 8-4 and you end up the season 25th in the country, but you were preseason number 25, they're probably not going to say much, even if they wanted more than 8 wins. Like let's say Florida ends up 8-4, something like that. I don't know. Who knows what they're going to end up with after losing to USF, who I think is a pretty good, darn good team. I think the two best G5 teams are Tulane and USF. I believe they will play at some point this year, if nothing else in the AAC championship game, if it works out that way. So for me, I will readily admit preseason rankings, there's not a lot of legitimacy to them, probably shouldn't exist. I also am going to advocate to keep them for several reasons. They set expectations. It's more fun if you see number one Texas versus number two Ohio State or number three week one of the season. Like Texas, Ohio State is great, but the numbers there just add something to them. It's kind of like pro wrestling. I know not everything is real, but it's just more entertaining that way. You know what I mean? And so I like it. I'm going to advocate to keep it. I think where I do get a little bit bothered, to Josh's point, where at some point you do have to evaluate the actual performance on the field as far as the current rankings. Like if a team was preseason 10th, but they get mollywopped and you've still got them ranked ahead of another team who beats a top 10 ranked team on the road, like at some point, what's happening on the field has to be factored in as well. And I think that's kind of what he was saying. And I've thought it too, like if you got because people factor in their preseason rankings into the current rankings, and sometimes they will put more emphasis on the preseason rankings than what's actually happened on the field up to that point. Even like we're 2 games in right now, but even a month into the season, even 6 games into the season, sometimes if a team actually has a more impressive resume that wasn't ranked, they will be ranked behind a team that has struggled and looked bad, but they were a preseason top 10 team. And sometimes that team will be given the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes it's the jersey. Sometimes it's the conference. Okay. Part of that's the fun of the debate, too. There's so many teams that get in the college football playoff now. I mean, if you can't get in a 12 or 14 or 80,000 team playoff at this point, I don't know what to tell you. Once you get in, you can settle it on the field. So the other thing that I kind of equate this to, like, I like Arch Manning. Like, he has all of this pressure, all of these expectations. If you listen to anything he's ever said, he's never once fed into it. He's always kind of downplayed it. He's never once enhanced it by anything he has said. Goes out, struggles versus Ohio State. Obviously, Texas won and won fairly convincingly this past weekend against a more inferior opponent, but struggles against Ohio State, and you start to hear, oh, he's a bust. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. Well, was he? Because what was your preseason expectation? Like, for me with Dylan, I didn't say preseason Heisman All-American. I said some sort of All-Big Ten. first, second, third team honorable mention. With Arch, we didn't talk about him much, but had we, the word Heisman would not have come out of my mouth. I would have said something all SEC is what I would have said. Now with the team he has around him, and they're probably going to make a run in the CFP, I would have said probably, you know, you need to be about second team, if not higher, to meet some expectations. But if your expectations are through the roof and you talked about a kid being a certain way and he doesn't live up to it, is that on him or is that you were wrong in your preseason expectations and now you're taking it out on him? Sometimes there could be more ownership and I was wrong with the expectations. I put too much on a kid who'd never taken a snap in college football away from Austin. And maybe I should be like, hey, I was wrong. Let's see how the kid grows, develops, and improves. Rather than putting, oh, the kid's a bust because I thought he was this. No, I can't be wrong. It's the kid is a bust. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Because I kind of equate that to preseason rankings sometimes too, a little bit.
Well, and a lot of it's just, you know, don't, like you said, don't be stubborn. You know, Colin Cowherd's one of my favorite radio talk show hosts. He has a whole segment of where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong.
Yep.
He wrote a book a long time ago. He predicted Ryan Leaf was going to be better than Peyton Manning. There are certain things that don't go well over time. I never thought Golden State, a jump shooting team, I don't think they can win. That's not consistent. You need something that can carry all the time on the road, all that. So at times you just have to acknowledge, hey, I'm not going to be, if I was getting everything right, I'd be a rich man. You know, you'd be in Vegas.
You'd be my financial advisor is what you would be.
That's right.
But that's why, you know, when I was 0-for in week one, that can be embarrassing. I wasn't thrilled. Let's have some fun with it because I'm going to have a bounce back week. Nobody bats 1,000. Own it when you're wrong. Own it when you're right and have fun with it in the process and do as much research and do as much due diligence as you can in the process. All right. We finished all the clips. Is that correct?
That's right.
Any other fan questions?
There's a few thoughts here. Waverly Jim says preseason rankings give 25 teams a bias toward the end of the season. Ryan in California kind of joining with that.
That's honestly fair.
Yeah.
It does create a I talked about it. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt if your preseason ranked higher versus your preseason ranked lower, even if your results on the field might be better and you're the lower ranked team initially. Does that make sense? So that's fair. I still like them.
Ryan in California also agreed. There's too many drops by Akron to say the pass defense is top 10 quality.
Whoa. I didn't say they were top 10 quality. I said they're number two in the country statistically. Like I went straight to the numbers, just so you know. We're giving up an average of 65.5 yards per game. Number one is Minnesota at 65. So they beat us out by half a yard. To me, did they have 10 drops? Did I miss like 6-7 drops? I saw like 3, which again would put him 10 of 21, which is under 50%. I don't know. I think our pass defense, I'm not saying it's like unequivocally one of the 3 best in the country. What I'm saying is it's unequivocally the strength of our defense right now. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like that. And then a few thoughts here on Iowa. Scott from Bancroft says, can you spend some time bashing Iowa, please? Big Bird says the best TJ Lateef staff is he has more yards than Gronkowski. Iowa as a whole has 3 more yards than TJ.
Yeah, let's talk about the fact that, well, you just basically said it. Our backup quarterback has more passing yards and a half, 128, than Iowa's starting quarterback does in 8 quarters, 127. It's the least amount of yards thrown for by a Big Ten quarterback since 1995. A Northwestern quarterback. I'll keep his name out of it. But
that's a good Northwestern team, isn't it?
Which one went to the Rose Bowl? Is that 95? I might have the year wrong. Hold on. I know the quarterback.
Okay.
Here, talk for a minute while I look up stats.
Yeah. fair enough. Because I did watch the Iowa State game. I thought that was it was exciting. It's just the same. they brought in Tim Lesser, hopefully to kind of be able to change that offense and get it going. But the Iowa was scoring basically on Iowa State mistakes, you know, personal foul penalty, extended a drive. I think they recovered a fumble or something like that. So, you know, those 13 points isn't from Iowa, you know, looking like a crisp offense. That was just interesting. They barely would even run like 5-yard outs. And that was kind of their wide receiver route tree for the first half. They came out in the second half, kind of started to figure some things out. But it's weird. I mean, Iowa does that too to you when you walk away. Iowa State's a tough read at this point. Barely beating a Kansas State team that appears to be bad. Iowa's always kind of tough to figure out. But Iowa State doesn't look all that good. But they're the clear favorites of the Big 12 now, I think.
No, Texas Tech.
Well, Texas Tech.
I've said it. Why does nobody join me in the Texas Tech bandwagon?
I'm waiting for them to do something, too.
Well, that's true. They haven't quite earned the right. They won the national championship of basketball about 5 years ago, whatever it was. That came out of nowhere. All right, it was Kane Coulter, and it was about 10 years ago, so I was way off in 1995. Okay. That 1995 team went to the Rose Bowl, played USC, Keyshawn Johnson, if you remember that. They were number three in the country. Did not win, but played very well versus USC, Keyshawn Johnson in the Rose Bowl. USC ultimately won that day. But yeah, Iowa, like, forward pass. Look it up in the dictionary or find out what that thing is and improve on it. Actually, don't. Because maybe that will help us when we play them at the end of the year. The fact that our backup quarterback has more passing yards in a half than their starter does in eight quarters is one of the craziest stats like I've seen in quite a while.
And they played Albany. So you can't say there's a competition that they're playing.
Oh, I forgot to mention this earlier. Army, who beat Kansas State, also lost to Tarleton State. Have you ever heard of Tarleton State?
I think in basketball.
All right, we come back. We are going to be reacting to Matt Rhule's Monday press conference and any other comments you'd like to send in, questions if you have them. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.